Hello, my fantastic radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Crossing the Boundaries. And tonight we have a very special guest and previous co-host. We are here with DJ Chris. And Chris is in response to a very specific problem that we've heard addressed in many of our viewer emails, and viewer phone calls, which is we have been focusing too much on homosexuality or heterosexuality, and what we really need is someone who can straddle the fence, speak to both issues. Chris is a former homosexual. That is,
You got that way wrong. Former heterosexual.
But you are homosexual. You are a heterosexual, and then a homosexual, and then a heterosexual, and then a homosexual again. Right?
No, it's actually I was a heterosexual, then I was a bisexual.
Oh.
Professed bisexual, but not practicing bisexual. Then I was a homosexual. Then I was a bisexual again, and now I'm a big queer.
Why do we always have to put people into boxes like this?
It's such a shame.
It's because it gives us the opportunity to think outside those boxes. I forgot to mention.
So you're saying our limits give us freedom?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Through slavery.
Our freedom encodes its own. First, let me introduce, however, I neglected to do so, our pansexual, multi-intellectual, and multi-lobed co-host Lance.
That's me.
and Lance will also speak from his incredible depth and breadth of experience as well. So, Chris, where do we start?
Well, I think we can start. In terms of talking about some of the ways in terms of some of the other viewer mail that I've been reading here and hearing the agony in the phone calls of some of your listeners in terms of some of the tapes that Corey's been playing me, these endless and endless tapes
DJ
from the thousands.
Crossing the boundaries.
I'm sorry, DJ crossing the boundaries. There's certainly a lot of agony in people saying, you know, how do I know? How do I know if I'm queer? How do I know if I'm straight?
Mm.
You know, am I het? Am I not? I think there are a couple of big indicators.
Please continue.
Subscription to Maxim, is that an indicator?
Potentially. A structured credit card is not doing you very good service for being a strong heterosexual.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? I mean, I know you're admiring my very attractive outfit tonight.
Yes.
I did not buy this at Structure. Last time I went to Structure, it was filled with, like, gang wear. When did this happen? I, like, couldn't buy a single thing at Structure.
So this is Structure.
Oh, but it's,
wait, speaking as a poor, clueless breeder, is Structure the hip, gay place to shop?
No? Well, no, actually, it's the stylish place where a lot of straight boys shop and dress like gay men.
Oh, but the real gay men shop elsewhere.
Well, I used to classify it as that way, but I went there and I couldn't buy anything.
They,
it was all like,
they might be changing.
You know, orange hunter gear and like all these really baggy pants that you're supposed to like show your underwear with.
Well, is it possible that you're just aging out of their demographic?
I think that might be the problem. We are all getting cripplingly old.
I mean, I first knew that I was no longer a young man when I looked at somebody wearing baggy pants that he had to hold up to walk in. And said, I just don't get it. Right?
Mm. I don't understand that whole frost. If somebody can please call. We're going to have a couple of solicitations tonight, I think, for calls. But if someone can please call and explain what the frat boy, straight boy fad of dyeing the tips of your hair blonde like Sugar Ray is all about. Is it a mating ritual? Is there some kind of thing that would...
I think, actually, I just assumed that it was when the semen splashed in their hair, it just actually bleached out the tips.
Yeah.
I didn't realize...
Well, that could be it. It could be a...
If you'd like to call with a competing explanation, our phone number here is 621-9728.
Let's talk about the frosted tips and why. So I realized something at some point. Yeah?
I have this new fetish, which is to say the numbers slowly and distinctly. You did, but then 621-9728.
I can see the sexual pleasure writ large on your face when you
It's rippling through your couch. There's a chronic problem facing many men in America, I think, and that is a problem that I suffer from, and I don't know I don't know how many people are willing to come forward with this statement, but I think that there is a real issue of being born with the ability to have the orgasm of the opposite sex. Now, it has taken me 25 years, well, actually not 25 years, I've only really had orgasms, I guess, for the past 13 of those years. So But I've really come to realize that I have a female orgasm. This creates incredible, incredible problems when trying to have heterosexual sex.
I'm intrigued yet perplexed. You have what you say is the female orgasm?
I do. And
do you have this in addition to the standard male orgasm?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. So really? What it basically involves is I mean, you see these charts of women's orgasm versus men's orgasms. You have this kind of gradual, you know, in the man, it's kind of these gradual kind of steps, and then there's this one giant leap, and then the crash. Mm. And with women, it's kind of some more distinct plateau. You know, and sometimes there's an orgasm in there, but it doesn't quite drop her off again, and then another plateau, and doesn't quite drop her off. Anyway, this is basically what I go through during sex, which basically is this kind of miniature orgasm followed by a period of needed recovery, we'll put it that way, which usually is only involving about 30 seconds, but it's a very critical thing. And go through this like 5 or 10 times before actually getting to the point of having the real whammy. Now,
so you reach a certain plateau and then you have to rest.
Yes, yes, because it's, you know, it's that kind of oversensitivity thing going on, as well as a little bit of erectile loss.
Mm. You know, I've read the Tantric Masters study for years to achieve exactly.
But I don't necessarily think this is a gift until you can find somebody who's willing to put in the effort and the time and the understanding to work with it.
Holy cats, this is fascinating.
And this is what has driven me, I think, back to men.
So you're saying women just don't care?
Which is interesting because it's their orgasm I'm having.
Well, it seems like your graphs would be in lockstep, and it would be fabulous for both of you.
However, women are not designed, I don't believe, at least in penetrative sex, to be able to support this kind of orgasm.
How so? What?
Basically,
what goes wrong?
Basically, what goes wrong is, you know, there is this you know, build up to a point, and then I have to break. I have to kind of step back, take stock of the situation, and go back again.
Well, actually,
and so that is not necessarily doing that 5 or 6 times over the course of, you know, half an hour of lovemaking to a woman. It gets a little frustrating for her.
Well, actually, I have to disagree because I've used that technique of building up and then stopping and waiting and then continuing again intentionally for the benefit of the woman.
Well, maybe I've just been with the wrong women. However, there have also been situations where, you know, that will become so frustrating and basically, well, most of the situations where the other partner just gave up and just said, all right, well, you know, I got my cookies and that's it. And that really was plaguing for a long time in a number of different relationships.
So can you give me a notion of the time scale here of this graph? So
and we're looking at about anywhere from 20 minutes to half hour, 35 minutes of this kind of stuff.
And in your self-masturbatory mode, you're also takes 20 minutes to half
hour? No. Self-masturbatory mode can usually be quicker. Although, you know, basically what I'm saying here is I've never even understood the whole concept of the premature ejaculation because it's so foreign to me, because I'm convinced that there is some kind of chromosomal or some kind of mess up in my code that actually has basically forced me into this female orgasm mode.
Interesting.
And what I'm also, if we can open up the phone lines again, is to male callers out there, or maybe female callers who have been with a male partner, or male callers who've been with another male partner who have.
I don't know. We don't want to limit the audience.
Had this affliction, if you want to call it that. I think that would be good. You know the number, Corey, and you say it so well.
DJ crossing the boundaries.
Oh, DJ crossing. I got to write that down.
It's country code 1, area code 412-621-9728.
Oh, you made us wait for it. So, but obviously the experience with men has been different. They've been more patient with you, more willing to.
Oftentimes they've been more patient.
I must crush this conversation. Well, no, go ahead. I have experiences that speak to this.
Okay. Often they have been more patient. However, even men have kind of lost patience and said, well, I must be doing something wrong. Why don't you just take care of it? Yeah, which is
horrible. 8 words in the English language.
It is. It's horrible, but it's not as bad as, well, I can't do anything about it. I'm going to sleep. Don't you dare touch yourself. which is much worse.
I mean, this maybe isn't eight words, but I never want to see you naked ever again.
That's bad too.
Like, I vomited, you just didn't notice because I closed my mouth in time, right? I mean,
you're not worthy of a source of fuel for my car.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of much worse eight words than unpleasant than those may be in sexual dynamic.
I mean, at least in those cases, the man has been understanding enough to say, okay, I'm going to back off.
Sure.
You show me what's going on. And men are, well, at least gay men, have always been cool with that.
Is that a pencil that you dropped in your lap, right? Again.
Yeah, that's tough. That's very tough.
So just to delve into the pain realm a little bit, under what circumstances would someone say, I'm tired of sexually servicing you, but you may not finish yourself off by masturbating? I mean, that's
basically
a recipe for blue balls. That could be a medical emergency.
Exactly. What that is basically a situation where the other person refuses to admit failure. Because if you can suddenly get yourself off in front of them, somehow they've failed.
But this happened to you.
Oh, yeah. This has happened to me several times.
Male or female?
Female. Yeah. and there have been other weird sexual dynamics with certain men. But it's not really remember all the explicit details. There were at least three situations I can distinctly remember where the woman would have been extremely threatened if I had taken matters into my own hands when things just weren't working out because things were just too bizarre. You know, it was just not a sexual paradigm that she had ever dealt with before, and couldn't basically rise to the occasion, so to speak.
Well, I mean, does the fact that you're gay have anything to do with it?
Well, there's that.
I mean, I don't want to be...
That's the next 20 minutes of the show,
I don't
suppose.
Want to be judgmental, right? But is it possible just the fact that you were gay was preventing you from having a full... I don't mean to assume that you're not bisexual.
Right. No, please, assume. Because I'm not.
Okay, so then, the fact that you're gay means that you might have had trouble coming to completion with a woman.
Yes, and that definitely was an issue. However, I've experienced the exact same sexual paradigm with men as women.
Okay.
However, this does not mean that I am a bisexual, much to my realization after many, 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 many years in relationships of trying to believe otherwise. It's not all that challenging. I mean, a lot of people will say this, it's not all that challenging to have sex with the opposite sex, even if you're gay, especially when you can close your eyes and pretend that they are the same sex.
We've tried to have Corey do that dozens of times.
Really?
And he's failed.
Crossing the boundaries. It's true, that experiment has failed time and time again, but I think if we've learned anything from the lesson of cold fusion is that you just have to keep trying and eventually you will have a breakthrough.
Right, but it's a short, short life and there's lots and lots of play out there. you don't want to keep hammering away at the same old problem if you're not really making much progress.
I believe earlier, DJ, Crossing the Boundaries, you had an experience that spoke to this.
Well, so now I'm all confused. I mean, so the two experiences I was going to share were, first, that my partner, my male partner, and I do have opposite sort of orgasmic responses in the sense that I'm very sensitive. I mean, I have to frequently, you know, during the sexual act, I have to frequently, like, pull his hand away from my penis or pull some body part away from my penis and just say, you know, we have to stop stimulating me so directly because, you know, I'm on the verge of blowing my load, right? But whereas he, you know, you have to sort of kind of apply a lot of pressure and friction to really get him to climax. And so why I'm sharing that right now is not immediately clear to either of you.
I believe that you have a plan. I believe all will be clear later.
We're following, I think.
So I'm at least in some dim sense, I'm familiar with the syndrome you're describing, although I don't have this whole, like, plateau level thing.
No, I mean, maybe I'm in an extreme case, but I could definitely see the same situation happening. Maybe I've just dated women or been with women sexually who have not had a lot of experience with many men and experienced different kind of orgasms. I mean, I think there is this general stereotype that the man has this basically this incredible erection that lasts forever until he, you know, explodes, which is, of course, after she has her orgasm. And, you know, you fall together peacefully in sleep, and that's great. But that's,
I mean,
something.
Except for the fall peacefully asleep, right?
Right. Well, there's of course that 2 or 3 days of cuddling and resolution phase. It's also expected.
You sound like a man who's glad to no longer be in heterosexual relationships.
No, not at all. I have enjoyed my heterosexual relationships for other reasons other than the sexual ones.
Yes. And what reasons would those
be? Those would be for all of the reasons.
Companionship,
yes, the companionship, the friendship, the understanding, all of that great stuff. But sexually, they were extremely unrewarding. And that's a big component of
any relationship.
Any relationship. And it's very easy to fall into the trap of saying that you don't need that in a loving relationship. However, I would argue that what you have, if you're having a relationship without sex, is you're having something that's a little bit different, if not significantly different, than your standard loving relationship. Yeah. You can still love somebody without actually having sex with them, but to masquerade it and call it a real loving relationship, just like any other person's marriage and yada, 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 is to say, is to kind of cheat yourself, I think.
I agree. However.
Aren't you really saying that you are actually, this whole vibe screams polyamory to me. I mean, shouldn't you be in a threesome type relationship where one of your partners is male and provides your kind of sexual needs, and the other partner is female and provides...
This gets back to the boxes again. You know, what is male? What is female?
Male is...
Well, one of the last...
There are reasonable medical definitions, right? They blur on the edges.
But... Really? I must have been asleep.
Let's start with the penis.
In those classes. Just in terms of... I mean, I have dated women who have been more male than the men that I've dated. And I've dated men who have been more female. Yeah, vice versa. Exhibited more feminine qualities, been there more in the soft, understanding, compassionate, gorgeous way that women can be there for somebody. It's a feminine trait that is attractive, and it can be found in men.
So I think our powerfully empathic producer Kate may have had a comment. I'm not sure.
Oh no,
she didn't.
No comment.
I'm so sensitive myself because I am largely female that I just.
You probably picked up the fact that subconsciously she wants to make a comment, even if she won't admit it to herself.
She's not at that level yet.
Yeah. Right.
So as a straight man, I'd like to get back to this question of how does one know whether one is gay or straight? Right.
Well, we're right off the bat. If you are, then this is an argument that I've actually had with people who've said to me, "Oh, you know, I think I might be gay," or. I find men very attractive, maybe, or I find women very attractive. That maybe means I'm gay. So initially, I think the first and best question that you can ask somebody in this situation.
wait. Can you repeat that last sentence?
I'm sorry.
The part about if you find women really attractive, that might mean you're gay.
No. I mean, women asking that question.
Oh, okay.
We're not just talking about men here. I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of lesbians out of the millions and millions of people listening to the broadcast who are interested in knowing how they fit in here and how they can basically know.
True. But I have a plan for this. So for the current discussion, let's just stick with straight or gay man.
Okay, straight or gay man. Number one, what are you thinking about when you're masturbating? Bottom line, bingo, what is your porn stash look like? Do you even have one? Do you have a collection of magazines, videos, erotic stories? Do you have a set of bookmarks in your Netscape or Internet Explorer browser? What are they of?
The reason I ask this is because there's a couple of people that DJ Crossing the Boundaries keeps accusing of being gay.
Okay.
And pretty strongly, it's clear that he wants them to be gay, right?
Okay.
But it's not clear that they are gay. Okay. So I wanted to step through the criteria. So the first one is, what do people masturbate to?
Who is in your fantasies? What are the sex?
In my case, it's my box collection of the Donna Reed Show.
Right.
Well, I have to agree with you on that one.
Boy. I can't even respond to that.
But again, the key is, like, are you fantasizing about Dr. Stone or about Donna Reed?
Right. Tough call.
So you mentioned whether or not you have porn stash at all. What does that
exactly
say about you?
Well, I would say that I don't know if that really necessarily says anything. I'm a big fan of pornography. In fact, I'm a huge fan of pornography. But I can't exactly say that I am an expert in the field of knowing why those of us invest so heavily in it. What that indicates about us specifically.
Will you star in an amateur porn videotape even if you only make one copy for myself?
Do I get paid?
Of course. I would pay you whatever. I would even pay a premium over what I would buy a videotape for. like 50
amateur
bucks.
Porn video for Corey. Bucks. Just you, $50.
It depends. Who else is it? Who else is it, in
yeah, are there other people in it, or is it just me?
You know, you can have your choice of hottie partners. You can have your current partner.
Okay.
Or whatever.
I mean, I'll ask him if he's interested. But $50, that's decent.
And I could even sign some kind of contract saying I wouldn't show it to anyone else.
All right. Could you come in? Could you be actually featured in the video and maybe write monogamy on my thigh or something? That would be.
I mean, he could certainly write whore on your thigh.
No, because that way I could get CFA credit.
There you go.
Indeed.
There you go. And maybe potential federal funding. You know, we get in the Brooklyn Museum. That would be great.
I was laughing. I was just laughing off mic as I was bending back to get a soda.
Oh, I thought you were just showing me your ass.
do you feel attacked by Corey in this way of being trying to
DJ,
Corey trying to convince
DJ crossing the boundaries?
God.
No, I don't feel attacked by DJ crossing the boundaries, but a couple of our guests have just assumed that I was gay.
Really?
Yeah. And so it would be nice to shift this discussion off the informal, somewhat humorous plane it usually inhabits and into a plane of hard and fixed criteria. So, and all I'll say in my defense is that I've seen Jennifer Love Hewitt make out with a lot of guys, but I don't remember any of the guys. But I do remember Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And you remember the names of each of her breasts.
You remember the names of each
of
her breasts.
Huey and Dewey.
No, it's Thelma Louise.
Okay.
She named her breasts?
Individually,
yeah.
That's so tacky. What's up with these kids?
Well, I mean, she owes them a lot of money.
Well, she does. She does. Are they insured with Lloyd's?
I don't know. They may have gone out of vogue, right? I'm not sure.
Okay.
Lloyd's of London is... I mean, this isn't the time for an economic lecture, but the unique partnership structure of Lloyd's of London may not be feasible in today's modern world.
Yeah. Understood.
Because there's no such thing as limited liability with Lloyd's. And given the catastrophic miscalculations that resulted in immense losses between 93 and 96, many of the names that make Lloyd's what it is have been dropping out, thus leaving it without sort of the capital it really needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may reorganize itself as a more traditional insurance company.
So she'll have to move her breasts elsewhere.
I'm sure MetLife will. Lloyd's is really
take
you're
her
really
titties,
paying for the brand,
as it were. Yeah. Excellent. So yes, getting back on the topic. So I've had these discussions with people who've said, "Oh, you know, I think I might be gay, or I find this same sex attractive." And when you ask them, in some cases, you know, well, what do you masturbate to? Do you masturbate exclusively to one sex or the other? Oh, you know, or yeah, you know, I'm always masturbating about women, but you know, these guys are really attractive. Mm-hmm. All right, well, you know, there's a lot of attractive women out there. Donna Reed, for one, yeah. You know, certainly.
Well, hypothetically, what would you say if you asked somebody what they masturbated to and they said shelves and crocodiles?
Oh, I don't think that's really classifiable in this show in terms of what we're dealing with. I think that's a whole nother world.
That's more of a Home Depot kind of show.
Yeah, that's just a general fetish issue going on with certain home furnishings and goods.
These men that are confused about their sexuality.
Yes.
Young, attractive.
Yes.
19.
23, 24.
You know, I have a feeling that if DJ Cross the Boundaries was asking this question, he'd be a little more suggestive. He might say so. I assume that you masturbate to images of young, oiled-shaved men.
So I actually had sex with one of these people.
The moment you're hurting me. You came here to hurt me.
And it didn't end up working out very well, unfortunately. However, I think that was somewhat of an indicator of the level of commitment.
Are we talking like emotional issues, or more like a pulled hamstring?
No, more like a pulled hamstring. More like there was too much alcohol involved, first of all. Second of all...
No erection, and he started crying in the middle.
No. Well, there was no tears. there certainly was periodic equipment failure. However, it just didn't feel right. Even though I am gay, and even though this was an amazingly beautiful person. Sculpture, really, Corey. I mean, DJ. Crossing the boundaries. That's the first time I've gotten it, too. You need a T-shirt.
Yeah, that was so smooth.
Well,
yeah.
But his name, I mean, he's a man of mystery. His name changes every week. So.
Well, I'm aware of that. It's gotten worse over the years, I think. So anyway, So I don't know, again, what that really says, but this is one person who actually made the comment to me once that, well, and this was after it happened, and, you know, it was a couple months later, and I asked, you know, well, do you envision this happening between us again? And he said, well, I don't know. I think you're just more gay than I am. Yeah. It wasn't meant in a derogatory term at all. In fact, I think he finds it very frustrating because I think he has a lot of affection for me and a lot of love for me, but can't, maybe doesn't quite understand, or maybe is trying to convince himself of more sexuality, male on male sexuality, that he wants to be there so he can enjoy that companionship.
So has he gone on to have more homosexual experiences?
No.
So does he think, I mean, when he says you're more gay than I am,
right,
does he mean I'm not gay at all?
No, I think it means that, I have, you know, this immense male porn stash, and he doesn't. Not only that, it doesn't really involve itself too heavily in his masturbatory fantasies.
So he might periodically, like, you know, once every leap year, want to have sex with you.
Right. But it's not something like I want to go out and cruise, or I want to go to a gay dance club or a gay bar or a gay restaurant, or be, you know, really... you know, kind of, I don't necessarily feel extremely more comfortable surrounded by gay men than.
So is that a lifestyle issue then?
I think it's purely a sexuality issue. Okay. I don't think this person is dodging the lifestyle, if anything. I mean, I think a lot of gay men are quite disillusioned with the lifestyle anyway.
Speaking of lifestyle, you can call us at 621-9728. So actually, I have an interesting sub-tangent involving the lifestyle question. I think I remember, I don't think this is giving anything away about your first gay relationship, but I remember you being quite, you know, comfortable with your first gay relationship, but uncomfortable with the gay scene. You're like, I would never go to a gay bar, I would never cruise, I would never have sex with somebody.
Yeah.
And now I'm sensing... that you loosened that restriction.
Well, that was the first coming out, and I was with a very safe person in a very safe relationship. And, you know, when that ended,
safe from what?
Just safe from, you know, it wasn't threatened by, well, a breakup, or, you know, just, it just felt like, you know, this is going to last for a long time. And, you know, I could very easily say, well, those things don't appeal to me because they serve no purpose in my relationship and my sexuality. In fact, there were very few things that I did with that person that were gay at all. We didn't go to gay clubs. We didn't go to – well, that's not totally true. We went a couple of times. We didn't, like, do specifically gay things, which is not to say that is, you know, something that gay people should do exclusively. Certainly not. But it is nice to find yourself in, say, a gay district in a city and be like, oh, you know, you can hold hands and walk down the street and not worry, you know, or not feel awkward or be made to feel awkward. So that was weird. So yeah, things have changed. It's been an incredible year.
So all of this has happened within?
Actually, a lot of this has happened within the past, 8 months in terms of re-coming out, kind of, you know, going from being gay in that relationship to going back into a relationship with a female, for 2 years and then returning to men again. Sincerely never to return to women. Not because I wasn't with a fantastic woman. She was everything that I could have wanted.
Except she was female.
Yeah. Well, there was that, and there were other issues too in terms of us as a compatibility. But she helped me realize, I think, a lot of things about my own sexuality that I probably may never have realized had I been with, you know, another female or been alone.
So even if she was willing to wear a strap-on, and she probably was, that was not enough.
No.
Well, let me ask, was there a period of compromise where you tried to make her more like the object of sexual desire you really wanted?
No. Because I actually did find her very sexually attractive in many ways. However, it wasn't all-encompassing, and I still found myself kind of drifting my thoughts, drifting my fantasies, always drifting back to men, kind of constantly betrayed. You know, despite the fact that for a considerable amount of time, I thought, you know, well, maybe if I just throw all the porn away, I won't think about it anymore.
It never works, throwing your porn away.
No, because it's so easily replaceable. it was just, you know, I think for a long time, it just, you know, I really wanted it to be, you know, I wanted to kind of convince myself that, you know, sure, I'm bisexual, but I can, you know, kind of drum up the heterosexuality to a point where it's really going to be the driving force. And that just never ended up working.
So was it a specific man that brought you back to the
actually it was
other
three
side? Three at once.
No, two at once, actually. And then the other one I mentioned before.
Wow, you're continuing to titillate, DJ, crossing the boundaries.
Not titillate, but enraged, because I think by consuming more than your quota, you're denying the rest of us our due.
Yeah. The two was very interesting. There were two friends of mine who live out west who are in a committed gay relationship. They've been together and actually are engaged now.
By engaged, do you mean engaged in a quasi-legal...
Yes. Yes. As if they were straight, they would be recognized and the paper would have, you know, put their picture in and said, you know, we praise the, engaged straight couple. However, they did actually try and submit to the local papers and they refused to publish the pictures.
Really?
Uh-huh.
May I ask what state they're in?
Well, they tried to do it in Massachusetts, in the hometown of one of them.
Really?
And then the other one is British. That's not going to happen. Or I don't know if he even had any interest in it being in his hometown paper, but I don't know whether they actually tried to do it in Arizona, where they're living now. So anyway, they were in this, you know, very close relationship, and I've been a close friend of one of them, and one of them for about 2 years, and the other for, you know, as long as the other one has known him. I just went out there for a visit for about 5 days, and one of the evenings we just all fell into bed together.
See, now how does that happen? Do you slip?
Oh, no, there was no slipping. In fact, I was woken up. I had already gone to bed, thinking, you know, wow, that would be exciting, you know, because the sexual tension in the air, you have three gay men, young gay men in a house together, hot desert. You know, and just had just fantastic day all together, and so we all went, you know,
was there a lot
to
of
sleep.
Like,
was there a lot of
dinner?
What?
No, was there like wine at dinner?
No, actually, there was no alcohol. In fact, this was completely sober. But I went to sleep, and about an hour later, I was awakened by one of them who said, you know, this is your invitation. If you're interested, we'd like you to come into the bedroom. And if not, we'll totally understand. And I said, you know. No, I'll be there.
See, DJ crossing the boundaries. That's your porn movie right there.
Right. And
it's
so
playing in my mind. I was just curious. So, like, just to clarify, this very porn movie in my mind. Before you went to bed, were you? Was there some kind of lingering? Like, well, good night, I guess.
No. Well, actually, kind of. Yeah. Well, there was this whole build up before the trip. About 6 months before the trip, I'd said I was coming out. Out there, and they knew it. And we used to joke through ICQ, the chat program on the computer, you know, send messages back and forth, one of these instant messaging programs for people who don't know. And we would just send these messages back and forth every couple of days, be like, oh, yeah, you know, wouldn't that be great? And yada, yada, yada. And, oh, it'll probably never happen. You guys are in such a great relationship. You're so in love. You know, I wouldn't want to come between you, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, always
actually
kind of,
expressed desire, although humorously
right,
expressed out in the open.
Right, right. Okay. But it was always kind of shot down in the end, like, yeah, that would just be a little too hot, you know. But so
is there such a thing as too hot?
I thought there was until that happened.
I was also wondering, as a more personal hygienic issue, did you, like, because you were hoping that something might happen, did you, like, wash your butt crack before going to bed and basically, you know,
I just went to bed. I think I had taken a shower earlier that evening, but I'm not one of these people that's into really squeaky clean sex. In fact, I kind of would rather have it be filled with the aromas of
well, I think
actual humans.
Yes, exactly, and not ivory soap. And
there's a balance that you need to strike.
Yes, there is.
But it's also where you put that balance.
Right.
Some people put that balance firmly in the lap of the Ivory Soap Corporation.
Yeah, and I don't think that's fair to Ivory or the partner. So it has ended up being this really wonderful hour and a half to 2 hours of.
Was their relationship open?
No, this was the first time either of them had sex outside of their committed relationship.
Well, this is the point of the show where DJ Crossing the Boundaries describes to our audience how hot you are, so that it was worth it for this couple. So I'll just let him take it away.
Well, I don't even know how to begin. So actually, I'd have to think for a minute. See, the best way to describe people on the show is to describe what celebrities they sort of resemble. Like what
I don't look like anybody.
The love child of. I think that you are kind of a – you are, as an ex-varsity swim team member who could pass for a current varsity swim team member, you're sort of a pumped-up Anthony Michael Hall. Would you go there, DJ Lance? Or, but, I mean, in an extremely good way.
I mean, Anthony Michael Hall sort of does him a disservice, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean – right, you have the sort of boyish charm of an Anthony Michael Hall. But
he does. He has the boyish charm of an Anthony.
What about like a more boyish version of Vanilla Ice? I mean, because they do have this kind of hair thing going right now.
A little bit, I guess, mixed with the sort of wild sensuality of a Vanilla Ice.
And there's the strong jaw of an Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think.
That's actually, he does. Yeah, he does. He does have the Schwarzenegger style jaw.
Huh. Are we done?
I think that might. Well, I was going to say also the sensible, no nonsense. Flair of Donna Reed.
Put that in. And do you want to go into the penis size? Because you're going to eventually get there anyway.
Well, how big is your penis? Your erect penis?
It's so big, Corey.
DJ, matters. Surely science, you know, has developed some means of measuring its length and
There have been probes sent out from one end to the other, and we keep getting miscalculations because the metric system issue.
All kidding aside, and I've told our listeners many times, I have a smaller than average penis, and I'm comfortable with that. Mm. Although I'm a little bit bitter.
Well, I mean,
my parents should have aborted me before I go through life with this kind of penis. But you
are giving you penis enlargement gene therapy, right?
But you do have an unusually large penis to the point where people have trouble accommodating it.
Yes, yes. And I was a virgin until 22 because of that, despite having tried to have sex with three different people before that.
Females with their
females.
Capacious vaginas just
could not cope. Well, I mean, I was trying this with all virgins too, so it took a woman who had already been a large Catholic woman in her 40s who had had 9 babies. No, it was actually somebody who had already had sex and.
So even though having a large penis is the dream.
It's not. It is really somewhat of a curse. I have yet to find a man that I will ever probably be able to have anal sex with unless he is about 300 pounds. And 6'5".
Wait, I'm sorry. What would the 300? I mean,
just
being overweight correlate with having an unusually loosened sphincter?
I don't know about loosened, but just giant ass that you could just get lost in. that you could stick something like this into and it really wouldn't have, this kind of, this horrible impaling effect.
Wouldn't some men find the immense weapon-like nature of your genitalia somewhat attractive?
I suppose, but I think they would quickly realize the...
some sort of primal fear would set in as the possibility actually approached.
You're saying you've yet to find a man who can accommodate you anally?
Yeah.
Interesting. This sounds like a challenge for DJ crossing the boundary.
have you ever read the story of O?
No, actually,
so
I haven't. I'm familiar with this famous
erotic story. And at one point, there's a woman who's being prepped for anal sex, and so they insert a series of sequentially larger rods into her rectum, like to sort of get her ready, right?
Right.
You haven't considered trying that sort of a...
Well, no, I have considered it with partners, but the rods that you can buy are just so... small in comparison.
Clearly, like a good machine shop.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably have something welded, or cut down a redwood and
Talking like the girth of a 2-liter soda bottle?
No.
You can buy dildos in all kinds of.
No, you can. You can. But in terms of like a set or a stage of, like, say, a butt plug, which is actually really good because it's tapered at one end and kind of gets wider. A lot of them are much smaller than what you would really need to really work yourself
up. I see a market somebody's got to move into.
And it could just be, at some point, physically uncomfortable for that person. So
maybe when we do this amateur porn thing and I'm over there,
right?
Just as a 15-minute tangent, you can try jamming it up my ass and seeing if I can rethink it. Because, I'm actually pretty good at receptive anal intercourse.
And he loves pain.
Yes. Well, and I did see your dildo during 2 years ago when we did a show with sex toys. You did bring in one of your toys.
The big one or the small one?
The purple one.
Oh, well, they're all purple.
Oh.
Well, if you paid attention, it must have been big.
It was big. Okay. It was approximately.
Interesting.
It was about 90 to 85% the size of I think what you would be dealing with in terms of dealing with me. But anyway, we're not gonna keep.
Well, if you've dealt with that, it's only a small.
Right. But I mean, so getting back to the fantasy, or no, the fantasy, the reality of sleeping with these two friends of mine. You know, of course, one of the first things they said was, "Stay away from us with that, you know, you wow. deformed beast." You know, we still had a great time, certainly, but you know, there were definite apprehensions and fears that I would somehow
were they aware of what they were in for before?
Of course, we had had conversation about it, but they really weren't quite sure exactly what
that kind of thing.
What? Yeah. Oh, law. Okay. No. No, I don't believe you are.
Interesting. So I think I have seen a peek of you in the shower once or twice. And
right.
Your flex would say you appear to be.
It's pretty average.
Ample, but not necessarily.
No.
Freakish.
Yeah, no. There's nothing. There's nothing. No. There's just a lot of inflation that goes on. But anyway.
Is it so large that not enough blood gets to your brain to think properly? Because
well,
that's been
I
a problem for some
I do pass out quite frequently. Yeah. No, I mean, and it's not even a length issue. It's more of, you know, just the girth kind of being around
that's
issue.
Because actually, in my anal cavity, I can accommodate more. I mean, I have there's a definite depth limitation where it starts
right.
to hurt
right.
pretty good width.
Interesting. Shame. It is a shame.
What's a shame?
Well, it's just a shame, you know, that I'm now in this very committed relationship that is not open because of the failure of my open relationships in the past. I'm not interested in having multiple partners.
But you wouldn't think of this as a partner so much as a scientific experiment. I mean, I am in no way emotionally or sexually a threat to your current relationship. I'm not interested in doing this more than a few
times.
Or ultimately, think of it as a job, a la the pornography.
Right, with the payment.
It's not legal for me to pay you for sex, exactly. But,
right.
I could.
Well, that was good.
I think that was the sex payment fairy giving you permission. Just this once, because he's such a freak.
Right, really. Definitely. But anyway, I do want to get off the tangent of the penis. I didn't mean to bring it up if I'd known that it was going to be this 10-minute diversion. It was interesting having sex with two people that had...
So if I psychologically wear down your partner, which I probably can do, I think, because we're sort of like friends,
sort
and
of
got
like,
permission from him,
right?
Then would you go for this plan?
If you got permission from him, yeah, sure. I don't see that happening, and well, he would have to be in the room. I mean, he would have to be involved somehow, because I would certainly feel like I was really betraying him.
This is purely experimental. I mean, you could just see if it went in, and then, you know, you two could go finish each other off while I...
He can give Corey the piece of cloth to bite down on.
DJ.
Crossing
boundaries. It's just chronic, this problem.
I don't usually have this problem.
No.
You know, I think this is perfect. While I'm setting up the video equipment or whatever, you could just...
Just kind of slide in and slide out. You really think it's going to be that easy?
Well... we'll see. I mean, we'll have to discuss this at some depth, and you know, we'll bring the dildos that approximately match, and I'll show you what I've accommodated easily in the past and so on. And do you think you'll be able to overcome your disgust at my physical appearance?
It's going to be tough, but I could pretend that you were, Matt Damon or something, and
I think,
a bit older.
Went to college with Matt Damon. Many listeners of our show know that.
Really?
I actually didn't. He didn't really go in the same circles as I did, but I did talk to him once.
Excellent.
He was famous.
Can I ask you a question, DJ Crossing the Boundaries?
Yeah, of course.
Has the word Matt Damon ever been mentioned in a room where you haven't brought out the story of your meeting Matt Damon?
I went to college with Matt Damon. So, actually, if I may suggest something.
Yes.
At the beginning of the show, before it started, we had a list of things that we really wanted to talk about, and I'm so aroused that I can't think of any of them. So.
Well, this is one of them. One of them was this, and this is kind of the story that I've been trying to wrap up for a little while, in terms of the couple that had never had sex outside of their monogamous relationship, very much in love, these two, incredibly in love.
Wait, they had never had sex outside of their monogamous relationships?
Outside of their own monogamous relationship. They had had a lot of sex leading up to that with different people.
Oh, okay. But once
since they were together, this was it. And certainly with gay men, you know, I think even more than the heterosexual culture, because we tend to have a lot of sex with a lot of different people. And that's a horrible stereotype, I know, but it's heavily reinforced. I think it's somehow this stigma of suddenly like, oh, you know, well, I guess I'm just stuck with this one lover, and that's, you know, that's how it's going to be. And there is this kind of constant like missing of the days, maybe, of, you know, the wild and reckless abandon of having 5 to 50 sexual partners in a year. However, what I think this did for them, however, was really prove to them that, yeah, that was fun, and we brought this Anthony Michael Hall lookalike into our bed and had this incredible, you know, sexual experience. However, when it really comes back down to it, you know, what really matters is the other person, and the person that is going to be there after this twink leaves. You know, we're going to have each other. I mean, they had it only happened one night, and yet they had sex. That was like the second night I was there, and I was there for like 4 or 5 nights, and they had sex all the other nights.
Did you feel slighted?
I did, actually. Yeah. I was a little burned.
But so this is not inconsistent, though, with the philosophy that I espouse, which is that, you know, there's a key difference between physical and emotional intimacy, legacy.
Goodell proved that wrong in the 20s, man. I don't know why you hold on to that belief.
And so, you know, in the same way that committed monogamous partners probably masturbate occasionally without each other, they probably find other forms of sexual release, why were you not essentially just the sort of sexual diversion who did not threaten the very emotional monogamy that you referred to?
I think it was because it was the first time. And I don't think that they would do this with just anybody. And they did it with me because they could trust me. They knew I was disease-free. They knew, you know, that I was a good friend and that we would just have a good time, and that wouldn't be like me trying to steal one of them away, certainly.
Would they do it with DJ Third Wheel over here, do you think?
Oh, no, I don't think so. No. And it's not because he's not a handsome chap, but it's, I think, because they just don't know him that well. And it was really an issue of you know, friendship and kind of trust more than anything.
Handsome chap in assless chaps. Future,
yes.
DJ.
There you go.
Future DJ handle.
DJ handle.
So, well, I believe we've actually covered a lot of what we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, significant. What are you doing?
My rectum was itching.
Wow.
Well, I don't know why. Maybe it was just quivering in anticipation. I just had to see.
That's the theory I buy into.
I think you'd notice.
I don't know, when you stick your entire hand up there.
Well, you're wearing black, which is both swimming and it's slimming, and it hides the quivering.
Yes. Hides the rupture, the rapture. So yeah, I don't know what else, what other topics there were to talk about.
Let's get back to your reemergence to the gay community.
Yes,
because you had the first, in the way I think of it, almost like a scouting mission. You went out,
right.
You were cautious, you drew back, but then you realized that you really belonged out in, not to be a jackass, but Gayland, or like,
yeah, no, oh, Gayland, is that what you're calling it now?
Is that what the Breeders call it? No, I made that up just now. It wasn't in my little list of official
What's
terms.
What's the capital of Gayland?
That's just for kids. San Diego? I mean,
So what's the question? How has it been? Or
so,
is there a reason or a rhyme for why it's been more dramatic the second time? Or?
Well, yeah, that's a good question.
I think maybe it's just, you know, kind of a more of a concrete understanding of what the gay community has to offer, B, the fact that other people have been through what I've been through in terms of kind of coming out and literally going back into the closet. I mean, everybody that I met during my time, who had never met me before, during my time back with my girlfriend, knows me as straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still coming out to these people. Some of these people I work with who don't know that I'm gay again, you know, and it's like, oh, I got to go through this whole thing again.
Do you dressed like this from work.
Yes, actually, I wore this outfit to work. You would not believe how dense some of the people I work with are. They're wonderful people. But you know, we have another gay employee who put a purple Teletubby on his desk. And a whole bunch of people were like, oh, he must like the Teletubbies.
Well, clue me in. Yeah. What is the telling sign? Is it the combination of all the things, or what's, if you can point to
one
or two
things?
Yeah.
I guess it's the combination of, well, just compare the two of you and how much attention you put into your appearance tonight. You're dressed casually, DJ Lance, but comfortably, whereas DJ Chris here is dressed to the nines.
Let me stop, because we're both, he's wearing jeans, I'm wearing jean-like pants, he's wearing a t-shirt, I'm wearing a t-shirt. Right, the difference is in...
You're wearing a stretcher t-shirt, and you're wearing something you got at the Salvation Army.
You know, it's funny, because
these are also
the one t-shirt that I did actually buy.
These are the gayest jeans that I own, too.
Why are they gay? Because are they...
They're extremely tight. Extremely tight. Okay.
But is it the earrings? Is it the necklace?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I have three earrings. I have this... pearl necklace thing.
It's the necklace thing. I mean, like, you wouldn't... That necklace actually is not fashionable. It's actually kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? Industrial.
Yeah.
Is it ironic?
Yeah, is it kitschy? It's kitschy. It's becoming kitschy. I got to find a new necklace. I've been wearing this thing for 2 years, and it's now, like, you know, all the you know, it's another one of these things that gay fashion pioneered, and then all the straight people get it, and it's suddenly, it's like the baseball cap.
All the straight people get what?
All the straight people annex the gay fashion, and then suddenly it's like, well, we got to find something new.
What are we, I mean, are we talking about the necklace?
The necklace, yeah.
Okay. Are there straight men wandering around?
Oh, yeah, like tons, that,
you know?
Tons.
Yeah, this is so standard, like, you know, I was in Hutchinson, Minnesota this weekend, and the guy at Cashless, or whatever it's called, like Cashmore.
Payless?
Something with the word cash in it. Had like four earrings, and I was like, you know, for example, the whole escalation of earrings thing. Like, it used to be if you wore an earring at all, you were gay.
Right.
And now, if you wore two earrings, you were gay. And now you can wear like four earrings and still like not be gay. I don't know how many earrings you have to wear before.
I'm going
to
stop at this, but like, this is the most gay I think I can make my ears. You know, I don't.
And it's not gay.
I not anymore. No, especially even this little top earring thing, which I got pierced when it was a very gay thing to do, and now it's like.
So I'm getting the vibe that he looks like somebody who dresses like a gay man would have 3 years ago.
Yeah,
is he not ahead of the curve?
Interesting.
I maybe need to know what the next gay thing to do is, but who knows? Who knows? But there will always be some standards. But
well, maybe it's just because you're in top physical form.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you're in good shape, and you're wearing a shirt that lets everybody know that you're in shape, right?
Yeah, so, well, there's that.
Your nipples are as hard as diamonds.
They are nuts.
Should we try to cut the studio glass?
Please. Yeah. Behave.
Well, this is a sex talk show, after all.
Yeah, it is. It is. I guess I volunteer to be the meat for the week, as it were. But, so yeah, that's been basically the recent since I was last on the show kind of wrap up there. Mm-hmm. But
well, let me ask you this question. Often when gay men come out, they come out in a big way and mm-hmm. sort of go wild sexually. Did that happen to you or
no? No, actually, I fell into another relationship, which actually ended up has worked out just wonderfully. Mm-hmm. It's another relationship, and he was supposed to be here tonight. Unfortunately, he was sick and. Very busy, so he couldn't be.
So in the 90 seconds that we have left, do you? So I understand this does seem like the love of your life. I mean, this is like fantastically.
It's actually
intense.
Working out very well, and one of the reasons is because of a pretty significant age difference. And
he's 13. Is that right?
No, actually, he is 13 years my senior.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. So he is pushing 40, and I am only 25. However, we meet on a very common ground, more than anybody else that I've ever been with romantically, physically, and, emotionally.
And you think it's because of the age of
yes.
personally?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I mean, are you abnormally mature for 25-year-old?
I wouldn't go so far to say something like that, because it comes off as arrogant, but I would say, I would say that I haven't found a lot of people my age that have been through the crap, as I would put it. Yeah. That somebody who is in their 30s has been through and kind of made certain decisions and certain life decisions finally and basically said, okay, this is the way I'm going to be. And this is, you know, not that I'm not open to changing and being somebody else, but this is really, I've kind of made up my mind on these fronts. And once you meet that person and realize that they aren't, you know, going to someday flip out and say, oh, you know, by the way, I want a big boat, you know, and I'm going to leave you. And and run off. I mean, that could still happen, but at the same time,
if they just wanted a big boat but wanted to stay with you,
that would be fine. Okay. In fact, I'd welcome it. In fact, if there's any other men out there with a big boat, no, I would never leave my love for someone with more possessions.
Might you not like pretend to love somebody to scam them for the boat?
Well, that's a whole other deal. Okay. I mean, if I'm willing to have sex on videotape for Corey for $50, it's certainly, you know,
DJ crossing
the boundaries. DJ whore out your guests.
He's not whoring you out. I mean, no, he's waiting for his own benefit.
That's a totally different thing.
My 10-year plan. First, I turned you out.
Right. Now you're working me out.
On that point, I think we're out of time, and so I want to thank you, DJ Chris. You've been a fantastically arousing guest.
Well,
DJ Lance,
I thank you.
I want to do a reminder that this is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's midnight, and thank you all for listening. Good night.